like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, March 9th. As has been our tradition for many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I would please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on our agenda tonight is the approval of the executive session minutes of February 10th.
Motion to approve.
I have one change, if you don't mind. Sorry. I received a phone call asking if we could add the comparisons that were cited before between us and other municipalities to the meeting minutes. I believe there was a gentleman that spoke on that at our last meeting. It's been about a month ago now. So if you could add those, a summary of his comments. Then.
For the work session?
Oh, work session. Oh, my bad.
The executive, not even.
I need coffee.
You're starting here.
That's funny going on.
No changes, sorry.
So, I have a motion to approve the executive session minutes of February 10th.
Motion.
Okay. And a motion by Councilmember Goyas. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Thank you very much.
Thanks for keeping me on track.
The reason for the executive session on February 10th was for the Mayor and Council to consider before a contract is awarded or bids are open to discuss a matter directly related to negotiating strategy or the contents of a bid or proposal. If public discussion and disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process.
A little more substance. Okay. Okay. Request.
Next is the work session minutes of February 10th.
Motion to approve the work session.
And we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the work session minutes of February 10th. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. Next is the regular session minutes of February 10th.
Yes, that's the change I was citing. Okay. And I'm trying to find our page number. Page 5 of 5 under item number 10, a little more substance to the first paragraph, if you don't mind. I believe that the exact comments were somewhere along the lines of where the source came from and relation to citing us against other municipalities in the state of Maryland. That's my change.
I'll have to listen to the recording and see what I have.
Okay, we'll just have to bring this up at the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we're now up to item 2. And item 2 is about council because the gentleman who wanted to address us could not be here. Now we're moving to item 3 on the agenda. And we're going to talk about electric utility administrative matters.
Can I do something real quick?
Yes.
I would like to introduce a special guest tonight. So, Zara, if you please stand. Okay. Zara is a young lady that attends junior high school. She contacted the town about the story goes her mother contacted the town about 3 weeks ago.
Don't
Zara, give her
the credit. I'm doing all the hard work.
Zara, service learning hours. So the conversation with her mother, I said, she needs the hours, have her call me. She did, and she is fantastic, fantastic young lady. And what I want folks to know is that she is fantastic, but it's also an opportunity for young students when they need that. I just want to make sure that we know that that's been made available to our students. Okay? Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mayor, the resolution for the electric utility administrative matters. prior council resolution, County of Berlin, entered into an umbrella master services agreement with American Municipal Power, dated February 9, 2015, covering Berlin's purchase of wholesale electricity. Whereas pursuant to this master services agreement, the town entered into a supply schedule, County of Berlin, Maryland, 2018-2020, remaining requirement, energy supply schedule, and contract number, dated March 15, 2016, that governs the term advanced solicitation of electricity service providers to provide bids to Berlin, and this effective for deliveries is through December 31, 2023. Whereas pursuant to the master services agreement supply schedule, the town entered into a transaction confirmation on March 17, 2016, that provides for a specific supplier to deliver electricity to Berlin at a fixed price for the period January 1, 2021 through December 31, 2023. And whereas the mayor and council of the town of Berlin have reduced wholesale purchase of energy costs by approximately 8% over the past 5 years, and whereas Berlin Electric has some of the lowest rates in the region, and whereas the mayor and council recognize that the energy market changes quickly, and the town needs now to be able to make the most of energy cost reduction opportunities to keep electric rates low while exercising diligence and oversight with the power purchase decisions. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the mayor and council of the town of Berlin as follows. The above reference, master services agreement, supply schedule, and transaction confirmation are hereby affirmed in recognition that the electricity delivery period of the existing supply and transaction confirmation ends December 31 of 2023, and its planning commences on January 1 of 2024 is now expedient. So that's the purchase must be consistent with state and federal requirements. Per megawatt, the cost can be no higher than 42 megawatts per hour at the DPL zone or closer to Berlin. The town administrator has documented evidence that competitive practices are followed, and the purchase can be no longer than 6 years. The last date of delivery can be no later than December 31, 2026. So what does all that mean? That means that we're already locked in beginning January. The current agreement that we have ends on December 31 of this current calendar. We've already locked in starting January 1, 2021, running through December 31, 2023. So what this is also authorizing is that we can start the process now beyond January or December 31st of 2023.
The purpose of the reason we started doing this was that we now only purchase power when the markets are at the lowest. It doesn't mean we're in a certain time frame. For many years, the town waited for over the last 2 months with the purchase power contract was ending, and whatever the price was, that was pretty much what we were going to have to live with. And since we started using this strategy, the rates have been consistently going down from contract to contract, because whenever if the rates are the lowest, that's when we seek bids, and then obviously we take the lowest bid.
And what's happening in the electric market as we speak now, natural gas prices are dropping, and that affects all this greatly as well. So the contract we just signed, again, is lower than it was the prior 3 years.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Jeff regarding the resolution?
Do you need a motion to approve?
Yes.
I'll make a motion that we approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve Resolution 2020-03, which is very much summarized by the town administrator. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
Next item, Mayor, is the motion from the council. This is a motion of the mayor and council authorizing the mayor to sign an agreement with Betts and Holt LLP for legal services regarding the electric department and other energy-related matters. Betts and Holtz has been the legal firm that the town has contracted with for a number of years. I do know that I had the pleasure this past year of meeting folks from Betts and Holtz. So I'm looking for the council to give the mayor the authority so that we can move forward with this for another year.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion again from Councilmember Kendall to approve motion 2020-07. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passed unanimously.
And I have one more just to share with everyone. There's a third chapter to this process that I don't have ready for this evening, and that's the where you give the authority so that I can make those decisions. The risk, PJM risk policy, which was in the packet that's been used for many a year, it's dated quite a number of years ago, and I inquired about, has it been updated? So I've got that now, so that'll be on the next council meeting.
Thank you.
That's all I have there.
Very good. Any questions for Jeff? Next, item four on our agenda is the initial presentation and discussion of the resilience element addition to our comprehensive plan. And Dave and Hardy, are you taking a lead on this?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I happen to start by thanking Mary Bolin for all her work on this project, which was a lot more than I put into this project. But the idea behind the resilience element, this is a draft that you have before you tonight. Every 10 years, the state of Maryland requires that municipalities, and now the law is every 10 years, we have to at least review our comprehensive plan. This resilience element, we saw an opportunity to get a grant last year in 2019. And this goes back to the previous town administrator. And Mary and I were on, you might want to call it a committee. And we secured a grant that was through the, administered by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. It was federal funds from NOAA and the U.S. Department of Commerce also provided funding. And this resilience element was drafted, you know, they helped us quite a bit. A young lady named Brandy Espinola, we worked with her on some three different public meetings we held around town. We had 80 different people give us input at these meetings. And Brandy works for the University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center. And the point of the resilience element is to, you know, as our look at, we've been going to some training and different seminars on the effect of climate change, increased heat, increased rainfall. We don't have direct coastal flooding here in town, but we have quite a bit of nuisance flooding, as it's referred to, you know, when we have rain events. And they adversely affect everything in town, all our infrastructure, our buildings, Tim's facilities, Jamie's facilities for wastewater and water. And it's the idea is to have a plan in place to make sure that we budget correctly and maintain correctly moving forward, and not just year to year, but probably 50 or 100 years from now. And it probably the best way that we started out all the meetings was, you know, define resilience. Everybody has a different idea what it means. And it's the ability to anticipate, prepare for, and respond to changes and sudden disruptions in order to survive and prosper. And that's what we have in mind with different aspects of the climate change that is already affecting us. Heat events, you see, you know, I'm sure if we had statistics from the ambulance companies and the hospital, we'd see heat events are rising, especially for the young and the elderly. And it requires a lot of long-term strategic planning. There's a lot of information here in the document. The Planning Commission is reviewing it as we speak. We wanted to get some public input. Mary's thought was, if we got comment and from yourselves, that now we would put it for consumption for the public, for their review and comments from them. The ultimate goal would be to make it a section or a chapter of the town comprehensive plan which we have to do something with by the end of this year for the state to hit state requirements. We had, like I said, public meetings. We've worked on an implementation plan of suggestions the town could take up. It mentions different things to take care of our infrastructure, like a capital improvement plan, designed to help us with our stormwater. We're already paying a lot of attention to that. But moving down the road, how do we fund that? How do we keep going on that? How do we protect Tim's infrastructure? Like, we had the one problem on William Street a couple years ago, and we were fortunate to get a grant to replace that equipment that got inundated in a flood. That may not always be there. So we have to prepare for it. A couple of the big points are we have to coordinate with our regional partners, the county, the state, the federal government, and that doesn't just include funding. It has to do with, like, we've done a lot of work on to different meetings. Mr. Fleetwood and Mary and I with the county hazard mitigation plan, which has to do with flooding events, highways, again, regionalized flooding. The town strategic plan that we conducted in 2015 and 2016 also mentioned best management practice strategies, and that's what this would be part of. So we're protecting not only town infrastructure but individual property owners, different streets, different neighborhoods. Another quote that some of these climate meetings have gone to that I see all the time: we have to remember that if you're looking at climate change and the weather, it's defined as weather is your mood and the climate is your personality. So today it was raining, and that's the mood we have. But the fact that it rains every March 9th for the last 10 years, that's the personality. So that we have increased rain every March 9th for 10 years, that's our personality. It's the overall trend over a long period of time, which we can anticipate year to year, and how it's coming along. I could go on and on. It's quite a few pages. I don't know if you have any other questions for Mary or I.
What I would like to add is there are a few copies of the plan in the back of the room. I see some have already been picked up. Excuse me. It will be on the website. I had hoped it would be there by today, but it should be there this week. People will have the ability to go on the website and submit comments so that we can get public input on the plan. We're also obviously looking for your input, and then we will review this at a later date to incorporate any of those viable suggestions into the plan, ultimately to produce the actual element, the final element, to be incorporated into the comprehensive plan.
Time for one question. What is the next step? Other than obviously we'll get the public's input, but what is the next step? Because we obviously won't go from here to the end of the year. What would be our responsibility, let's say, for the remainder of this fiscal year?
Well, we don't really have a responsibility other than we would like to include this in the comprehensive plan by the end of the year. Whatever public input we got, we could include, because this is a draft. We could include it. And just edit the document itself and then make it part of our that would be the Planning Commission is going to give you a recommendation for a comprehensive plan. Regardless of this element, this year they have to. They're going to have to. We're already starting to review the comprehensive plan. They will make a recommendation to you, your body, and then you will enact that 2020 comprehensive plan. Instead, our current one is a 2010 comprehensive plan.
And what do you anticipate? Do you think that will be something we'll be getting midsummer?
Later in the summer, I would think.
Okay. Just, I'm trying to get some feel for it.
Yep, not midsummer, but August, September.
Okay.
And, you know, whatever public input we get, whatever input we receive from you all, we certainly include it in it.
We'll have it open on the website until March 31st. The intent then being that it gives some time, excuse me, for us to review and incorporate some of those changes, and then hopefully bring it back to the mayor and council at their second meeting in April for approval. And that's based on everything, you know, going completely smoothly. If there are a lot of comments that require a lot more additional thought, then obviously that schedule will be pushed back.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Katie? Okay. Next is the introduction of the 2022 real estate property tax for the new fiscal year, FY21. At this point, what we're doing is I introduce a property tax rate on which I'll be basing the overall budget for the town of Berlin. And then we will have a public hearing on the tax rate adoption on March 23rd, which is our next council meeting. And what I'm proposing for the next fiscal year, which begins July 1, is increasing our property tax rates from 80 cents per $100 of evaluation to 83 cents per $100 evaluation. And what I'll also be doing is then showing where these additional revenues, why I'm recommending those additional revenues and where they would be, where I'm recommending they be adopted in a proposed budget. So that's where we are now, and the next step is in 2 weeks, and obviously we start getting all this advertised, because the process of getting the budget formally begins once the property tax rate has been proposed. And this is my proposal for, as mayor, for the new fiscal year, which begins July 1. Next is public hearing, is again, FY23. Consider our departmental reports.
Little more census information. This is actually a postcard that I received over the weekend. It is not the postcard introducing me to the census process, but it is the postcard explaining who I would count in my household, I'm assuming. These were sent out in Worcester County as well, but I don't know. Each county actually has their own funding for some census promotion, so you may see something very similar to this, or you may not. The schedule that the census is going to be working on is getting ready to start up at any time. The initial date that people should start expecting things is actually this week into next week. And then from there on, you'll get a reminder letter. Things are going to move fairly quickly once the census information starts going out. Excuse me, following the reminder letter, you'll get another reminder, and at some point, if you have completely not responded to anything, there will be somebody actually visiting your home. And the purpose for this is a couple of things. Obviously, we want to get the most complete count possible, but there's also the assumption that there are potentially ability issues or language barriers that may be presenting people and preventing them from responding to those written notices. So the person knocking on the door is kind of a measure of last resort. Most houses are going to receive it in the mail, 95%. The households that will not receive an initial mailing are those who perhaps do not have a mail receptacle at their physical address. They get a post office box. The census does not mail to P.O. boxes. So if your physical address doesn't get mail, you will definitely get an individual knocking on your door. Again, we just emphasize that the information that they gather for the census is extremely important for planning for not just government, but businesses, civic organizations. Just respond. It really, really does matter.
Can you share the, again, the financial impact that was shared with us?
The number that we received, the estimate is in the state of Maryland for each individual not counted on the census, $18,000 of federal funding is lost over 10 years. $18,000 may not seem a lot over 10 years, but when you multiply it by the number of people who then don't respond, it becomes very significant money. And that being federal money is used in a number of ways. It's used for schools, for roads, road improvements, infrastructure improvements, housing. The list goes on and on. Social services, just it's virtually endless. Pretty much anything that you can think of that is considered public is impacted by those census numbers, and money is lost.
Any other questions for Mary? Now we'll have Daniel Atchins, the Director of our Water Resources Department.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We've been replacing meters and in turn replacing some of the meters. We've had a few water leaks, so we've been working on fixing water services. Had a sewer collapse on Flyer Street last week, got that taken care of, and just changing out meters and trying to stay ahead. That's all I have.
Comes from all those buses, school buses.
All right. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. 100 Middle Street, we replaced a bad utility pole there, and then also at the power plant, the old muffler system that used to be there for number 3 engine, we had to remove that for the installation of the new engine that is supposed to be delivered next month. It'll be coming in, and then it's got to be connected and that type of things. And then after that, 300 Bay Street, that's right there. We ended up replacing a bad utility pole there, but that's also where that new house is being built, right at the intersection of Bay and Branch. We ended up connecting the new underground service for that house. And then also two of our employees went to the Legit Supervisors Conference that was held in Salisbury. They went to that. And then 328 Buttercup, there's a new house that's being built there. We had to install and connect a construction temporary service so they could have power while they were building the home. And then 305 Washington Street, that's where the old Stack and Store building used to be. We had to disconnect the service to that building that's being demoed, and we had to connect a temporary construction service so they could build the building. And then over at the ice plant, we had to disconnect and reconnect the service to the ice plant twice for a new roof that's being installed, and it looks like we're going to have to go back there a third time because they're quite not done. So that's all I have to report.
Tim, I want to add something. I think it's a fairly significant issue or topic. As you're well aware, we have two Mitsubishi generators at the plant. One is Kapui, is the simple way to say it. The other one, the boiler and machinery insurer, through Legit, did cancel our coverage on that engine, on the one that's still operational. However, it's being canceled because they want the same engine, the same exact engine that blew up, okay? So CNA, the insurer, wants all fittings, all components reset to the OEM specs. So in order to do that, the fuel injectors have to be removed here. They're being shipped to Texas, and then they'll come back. Once we get everything back to OEM specs, and then they'll pick up the insurance on the generator again.
We have confidence that they'll be back online in time for the shipping and some.
Yes.
But we really don't need it.
You said the turnaround time on this, or what?
2 to 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
That's mm-hmm. So a good time.
Yep. Yeah, they were actually removed today and packaged up and ready for shipment to go out, and they should be done in 2 to 3 weeks.
What building did you say was going to be demolished?
The Stack and Store. I'm sure Dave's going to talk about that a little bit. He can explain it better than I can.
I have one thing.
Sure.
Thank you again for the utility pole. Still looks good. Oh. I thanked you at our last meeting, but I was a little early.
You're welcome. So.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Downey.
Good evening, everyone. The Worcester County Health Department has secured a law enforcement diversion program grant, and as of now, they are looking at the Berlin Police Department at Ocean Pines as being pilot programs. We'll be meeting with the state's attorney's office as a law enforcement body to go ahead and see in which direction we'll move from there. Really, they want to go ahead and eliminate some of the people that actually go through the system, really go ahead and look at people who might have drug problems and mental issues and see if we can go ahead and put them through an alternative route. So, again, we're becoming more educated in that program and to see what they plan to do and to see what we have to do. So we'll go ahead and keep you abreast on that, and hopefully we'll have something that we'll be able to move forward with, and it might be something that the whole county ends up doing in the end. We're seeking applications for employees. We're actually seeking certified and non-certified. If we have non-certified, we'll have a testing in June for the July Academy. And right now we're actually, this week we did range training, so it's training time and instructing time for us.
Thank you.
That's all I have to report.
Any questions for the chief? Thank you. Next is Planning Director Dave Engelhart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. To answer Councilman Brittingham's question, 305 Washington Street, if you're familiar, going around the bend there from the ice plant, the building was a metal building. It was blue. It was the only one there that was blue, closest to the road, and it backs up to the railroad. That building was approved last fall for demolition and construction of a new mixed-use building, and that's where the demolition is occurring that Tim was referring to. It's going to be storage units downstairs and apartments on the second story. So it went to, that requires a conditional use from the Board of Zoning Appeals, which it got, and then it required to go before the Planning Commission for approval as any commercial facility would. So he got both of those approvals last fall. We entered into an allocation agreement. You may remember Mr. Matty was here. Jeff, correct me. Was that last meeting in January, I think, for the allocation? And now he started the project. So, so far, so good there. But they keep Tim busy everywhere. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Does anybody have any questions for David Engelhart? Next is our Director Becker.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few things for tonight. I met with Mr. Fleetwood today, and we talked about the unloading zone and the 15-minute parking signs will be put up either the end of this week or next week, so that should be implemented within the next couple of weeks for those who are wondering about that. Believe it or not, the farmers market starts Sunday, May 3rd. Every other week will be free kids crafts, and every other week beyond that will also feature live music. It will be held on Pitt Street Sundays, May, June, July, and through August from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And this Thursday morning at 9 a.m., we have a B-City meeting that will be here in Town Hall. It starts at 9 a.m. Kate Patton is the chair. I'm the vice chair, and several members of the community and town staff are on that. So if anyone would like to be a part of our B City and that designation, please join us on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. Also, March is Student Art Month, so several or almost all of the businesses downtown have art from Buckingham Elementary School students. That happens every year for March, so make sure you stop by downtown and check out the art in the windows. Let's see. Several new businesses are coming to town. Easton, Maine Shore Supply is going to be taking over where Runaway Tide was. It'll be a men's shop with sporting goods and a variety of fishing supplies and kind of like a man cave going on in there. And then also DeNovo's is opening up a second location. We've been talking about this for a while, but they assure me that it's going to happen this summer, and it's going to be called Pop's Kitchen. And then also working with Brian and Matt with the Globe, they're applying for Enterprise Zone tax credits. And that is going to be a new live music venue opened only in the evenings, maybe some days, but mostly an evening joint. And then last but not least, our first event is Spring Celebration on Saturday, April 11th from 10 to 5, brought to you by the Berlin Chamber of Commerce. I also brought some event rec cards for those of you who want to be able to put that on your fridge so you know when the events are happening in town. And for those who don't know, I became a grandma a month ago. Charlotte Lydia Wells was born a month ago, and I try to spend as much time with her on the weekends as I can.
Congratulations. Any questions for Audrey? All right. Next is our town administrator's report.
Mayor Council, the first thing I'd like to share with you all and also with the audience, as you're well aware, the property located on 346, the old Tyson property, Heron Park, we did have the engineers on site a couple of weeks ago. They did, in fact, drill a number of wells, shallow water wells. They did extract water, and yada yada. The initial field results on those tests for pH was very good. It was a good thing. Everything passed on that. However, the other test that they were testing for, the substance was chloride. The field test could not confirm any results, so that was sent off to a lab. So last week we did receive final results. The pH is fine, and the chloride levels. Those results have been communicated to Maryland Department of Environment. I have had a telephone conversation with the department director, and he said from his perspective everything is fine. However, he was going to pass it through his staff for their opinions as well. So I think that's good news. We can put that behind us. The remaining on that piece of property, if you've not been down there, if you go down since the work's been done, when you go in the big area on the right, where there's been... How many tons of dirt, Jamie? Lots.
4,000 tons or so?
Yes. Well, the new dirt is, that's on the radar to be seeded soon. If it stays warm like this, you can probably get on it, right, Jamie?
Yeah.
Okay. I just put him in the hot seat. The other thing I want to share is we will be getting into, in the near future, the topic is streets, roads within town, street work that needs to be done. I think most folks out here are aware, I know the mayor and council is aware, two, 3 years ago, the town enlisted the support of Davis, Bowen, and Fidel, and they put together a ranking order, if you will, from worst to best streets from an engineer's perspective. So there needs to be a little, not picking on any engineer in the audience, if there is one, but that report still needs a little bit of common sense, as I call it. We're gearing up to get an RFP done on that very soon. All the roads aren't going to be done in one fell swoop. There's not enough money to do all of it this year, but I have shared with the mayor, I have a sizable number of roads, streets, that I'd like to see completed by the end of July of 2020. And then next week, hopefully, Buckingham, if you travel South Main Street, heading south to Buckingham, down by the preparatory school, if you turn right, you've not noticed that, if you travel that road and not notice it, that road is coming apart. It's the simplest way that I can describe it. So I do have a vendor coming in next week to repair that. So that should be done probably within a half a day. So that road, you'll see a significant improvement on that road as early as next week. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Jeff? Right. I don't have any comments.
No, sir.
I have nothing.
I just have one. Miss J?
Yes.
insightful and thoughtful comments on the shark term. And if you don't mind, I would like to share your email to me with the other council members, if that's okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Do we have any comments or questions from? I'm sorry.
When is our Jean Holloway report going to be done?
I spoke with her today. It's Monday. I spoke with her on Friday. She is finishing up a report now, and then we're next in the pipeline. So she said it would be very soon.
3 weeks soon or 2 months?
I'm going to guess a month.
Okay. Great.
Just keep us posted.
Right.
Okay, thank you. If anyone wishes to address the council, yes.
Please come forward.
Flip-flop from that, sit your seat, come forward, whichever. The comment that Zach went and added to the minutes from the last meeting was mine, of course, when I said that our tax rate was near double the state average. That was omitted, and just for reference, the state average is 43 cents. Additionally, the constant yield this year for the town of Berlin would result in about a penny six decrease in the current rate. So if you keep the rate the same, you'll see about $75,000 in new revenue, and that doesn't account for any additional development or improvement that you can generate tax money from, or the last annexation.
And I would like to say this, that basically we won't see a significant increase in our tax revenues from assessment increases until FY22, which is then we'll finally find out that all the development and all the things that we've been encouraging, some of these things, they just don't even go on the tax rolls. They have a grace period where they can appeal and all that. And so, realistically, we're hoping for very modest increase from a growing accessible base this year, but the next year will tell us where we are. Just saying that's how the wheel turns.
Right.
It's a couple of years, normally a couple of years, but
sure.
In a couple of years you know where you are.
From 2015 to 2020, your tax revenue increased by about $1 million.
And our costs went up more than that.
And that's what we need to control.
Okay. And again, it'll be very interesting to see what everybody wants to cut, because we cut 10% across the board regardless last year, and we can't do that indefinitely. So, I guess we'll figure it out as a team. Thank you. Anyone else wish to address the mayor and council about anything? Do we have any questions